All right, guys, listen, we know that I like to live a little, and part of that is just kind of stress-free drafting. You get your guys, but this past week, former million-dollar winner Chess Liam put out a poll, and he wanted to know who people wanted to see as the champion of this BBM3 based on the Swolecast. 362 votes were cast. And yours truly captured 36.2% of those votes. Pete, pretty close with 30.4%. Davis and Tuttle, people just, I guess, want to see them fail. But the big takeaway here for me was, I don't just have to live a little. I've got to go big or go home. And that's what we're going to do on this show, because I'm drafting another underdog team. And it could be the lineup that ships this thing to give the people what they want, and that is a Soccer Dave Championship, next on the Swolecast and RotoGrinders.com.
Please don't dupe me, bro.
I'm begging you, don't dupe me, bro.
It's the poop narrative.
Pigeon's been waiting to say those words.
No.
For 5 years.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Swolecast here at RotoGrinders.com. David Kitchen here alongside Davis Matic and Pete Overzet. I want to just stop the show right now, because we're about to get to the draft and we'll get to it. But I want to acknowledge something, and that is Peter's anniversary is today. And I think everyone knows that his anniversary is today. I think even he knows his anniversary is today. So I just want to say, before anyone else, Peter, happy anniversary.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Lauren, Dave says happy anniversary. 9 years of pure bliss. I appreciate it, David.
I almost shipped you guys a Blizzard cake, but I know how you're wanting to get in trouble.
I really appreciate you not doing that.
What if I had shipped you like just a bouquet of roses, but it was to you and not your wife?
I would have probably switched out the cards and played it off as my own gift.
Would have been classic. Speaking of roses, Davis, he has a few more days of freedom left, and then Davis, you're gonna be handcuffed to your quarterback wide receivers. Give me some correlation here.
I mean, I hope so. I hope that my entire offseason of just ruining my brain, of forever rewiring my dopamine receptors in a really unhealthy way, ends up paying out with me at least winning the Pomeranian, at least, you know, cashing in for $3,000 after beating my brain into a puddle.
Have you prepped your soon-to-be wife on what is going to happen on the honeymoon? Like, does she know? Is she ready for what's going to happen on the honeymoon? I mean,
for the slow drafts?
For like that fantasy football is a part of the honeymoon. Like, does she know that's part of the deal? Or are you going to be in the bathroom with your slow draft pick? Like, I want to know how open you are going to be with this.
Not open at all. There's no reason. There's no point. Dave, I would feel, as a happily married man, you should know that it is better to ask for forgiveness than for permission.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I take a completely opposite line. I try to get out in front of it and feel like if I just put the full cards on the table right from the get-go, then it's like less of a blow. Because the risk of getting caught is far worse than just being like, babe, I'm going to be doing a few slow drafts on our trip. Don't worry. It's not going to take away from any of our special time. But
okay. No one goes.
You don't want to get started on that foot, bro. Like, no one goes in the corner.
No one goes on vacation and doesn't look at their phone.
Right, but no, that no one disagrees with you on that point. Right. But you're making it seem like you're hiding something.
Yeah.
If it comes up,
start
if
the marriage off being in the corner, slow drafting a player, and then she's like, "What are you doing?" And you're like, "Oh, nothing. I'm doing a fantasy football draft." And she's like, "No, what really are you doing?" So it'd be a lot easier if you just told her up front, "Hey, this is what you signed up for." Like, if you want to tell her right after you get married so that like she can't back out, then I get it. But I feel like you do at some point.
Maybe I won't even do it. Maybe I'll just decide I don't even want to do it in the end.
If you asked her, Davis, how many teams she thinks you've drafted this offseason, what do you think her guess would be?
Not close to the real answer. I'm at like 250 right now, probably in total. I don't know, but I mean, I do so many of them at the gym. Like, I've done 9 drafts already today.
Here's the thing. I will say you're past the territory of being able to use this logic, but I really do think you could write it off as like a work expense,
work.
Like doing drafts nonstops. It makes it very easy to give advice, write articles, go on podcasts. But let's say there's diminishing returns after, I don't know, 150.
Yeah. Like, it's not enjoyable. So it definitely is work.
I am officially not having fun drafting anymore.
What? I told you.
I have fun.
I told you.
Wait, Pete, I did 5. I multi-tabled 5 drafts this morning on the stairs. It's like,
okay,
it's not,
that's why you're not having fun. I do 1 a night, maybe 2 if I have a stream
I'll never get to the amount of drafts I want if I'm just doing 1 though.
Yeah, but you're, for someone who talks about like EV and, oh, you got to draft at ADP, I feel like tabling 5 drafts while working out is like not the EV that you think it is.
No, I talked about this with Corrine the other day. Like, clearly these teams are worse than if I was just focusing on 1, but then you have to add in the calculus of like, okay, well, if you're only doing 1 at a time, that means each minute of your time is used to generate less expected value.
I tried drafting a BBM team and a DK team at the same time.
Can't do that. The DK app is 1 at a time.
It broke my brain. It really did. Like, it was tough. And then actually it was 3. So I had 2 DK drafts and 1 BBM draft, and 2 were like, you know, I had 2 12 picks, and then 1 was like in the middle of the round. So I was trying to like pick 1 and then 1 and then 1 so that I could have time in between picks to think about it. And it's just, you're in, not in control of your drafts, especially like towards the wheel of the draft. So anyways, I'm going to enter this BBM 3. Let me share the screen.
Share the screen so people can get in this draft with you, Dave. Don't try to hide from the people, from the Red Badge Brigade. Let them get in here. I really want to get in this one with you, but it's too fun to just have you.
I was also just thinking, like, for my time EV, like, if I'm going to be on a show and watching someone else do a draft, like, okay, I should be doing one too. But I think the content will be best if we just watch Dave do it.
Here's the thing. I think I am. Oh, geez.
Share the screen. Let the people see how the sausage
I thought I did.
Made.
Now it says I have to go to system preferences. God.
Spoken like a true boomer.
In a draft with Davis.
Really?
Yeah. And Davis's draft was bad.
So
it was
bad.
Not good.
I was at the mall buying a dress shirt, maximizing my time.
You were drafting at the mall?
Well, I had to go get a nice new dress shirt for the rehearsal dinner. And
that
I was like,
sense to me.
Hey,
it's the draft.
Hey,
I've got to quit.
So y'all tell this story. I'll be right back.
It's an hour of my time I will never get back. So why would I not?
Even today, so I went to the gym. I normally go Wednesdays, like for an hour at lunch. And it crossed my mind today. I was like, maybe I'll hop. I wasn't doing cardio. And I was like, maybe I'll hop in a draft one more. And I was like, no, I'm going to get too distracted. It's going to slow my workout down. And like an adult, Davis, I said, you know what? I'm just going to work out without.
So I've actually gone the other way. I used to only do the drafts while I was doing cardio and not while I was lifting. But I just feel like I'm too much up against the clock. So I did a full leg day while drafting on Underdog today.
You need to free yourself from these artificial benchmarks you're trying to hit for the amount of drafts you're doing.
Well, the season is going to start, and then I'll be able to go back to normal.
Yeah.
There's our fear.
No, later. Because then it's going to be tweaking your 150 back set. There's always another thing.
I don't want 150 anymore. I'm a single entry bro these days.
I'm thinking, like, last year I would call myself a 3 max bro, you know, building like 3 to 5. And at least right now, I'll probably change. But right now I'm like, what if I was just a pure single entry bro? Just one lineup each week, one clean swing.
All right, guys.
Oh, the big dog. The big dog over Ja'Marr Chase.
Oh, my God, the big dog over Ja'Marr Chase.
He's playing into the character. He's playing into the character.
This is an absurd bit. Do you know
how is it absurd, Pete? How is it absurd?
Davis, what would you say? How many drafts? Because it will happen occasionally that Chase will fall to 6, but I would say less than 10% of drafts.
I would say I've never seen it, to be honest. I don't think I've ever seen it.
He fell to 8. There's concerns.
That guy was definitely drafting on autopilot, and he just assumed Chase would be gone, so he was just ready to snap Dalvin.
God, you disgust me.
Do you know what would have happened to my brand if I...
Derrick Henry probably falls back to you in the second round in a good room.
The upside of winning with Derrick Henry is just tremendous, right? Like, if I won $1 million with Derrick Henry as my lead dog, it's
so along those lines, Dave. I did just happen to go back and look at the 2020 Titans season that led to your first best ball final, and the degree to which the Titans ran hot that season. I had completely forgotten the field goal stat that they were the best third down team and the NFL, and that for 6 weeks in a row, they literally did not kick a field goal.
Yeah, they also couldn't get off the field. So the defense was not good, which made the offense have to be good and efficient to win as many as they did.
Yeah. Dave, can I mansplain an advanced level best ball game theory concept that is in play for you at this spot, and I want to hear your thought on it?
Yeah. Is it going to be the tight end, the Mark Andrews?
No. Okay. No, it's saying you made a very conscious choice to fade Ja'Marr Chase, who normally goes in that spot. So you're making a big bet against Ja'Marr Chase. Do you want to compound that bet with a T. Higgins selection here in the second round?
No, I don't.
Good talk.
Like, maybe in the third round, but...
He's not making it to you in the third round. Get out of here.
Oh man, I was hoping that CD would make it to me. Like, a Henry CD Lamb team would just be
Henry CD Lamb team probably ships the whole thing, right, Dave?
Right. In week 17, you guys know. Okay. all right. I think I'm gonna go with Mark Andrews.
We love it. We're living a little. Living a little.
Here's the thing, you know, I kind of looked at Peter's, just like you looked at my team, Davis, you were, you know, studying some of the great teams of the past. I looked at Peter and Bimefor's finalist team as well. Like, we're all finalists here except for one. But you know, they kind of went out of their way to have a different sort of lineup. So I'm thinking the same thing with, like, how many Henry Mark Andrews teams are there going to be where we go wide receiver a little bit later? You know, zigging when they zag with upside players. We know Derrick Henry is the alpha. We know Mark Andrews is the alpha. Like, we know that the offense is running on the receiving side through Mark Andrews and Derrick Henry on the running side.
Well, let me pour some cold water that Henry and Andrews' ADP were, like, directly correlated for the first 2 months of drafts in BBM3 before Andrews slid. But this was back when you weren't drafting, so I wouldn't expect you to know that Andrews was going in the early second.
Yeah, like, who cares, right?
Peter, it doesn't matter because the combinatorics don't matter at all.
The bottom line is I want alphas on my team. I want
you
guys.
You just told me the bottom line was a unique combination.
Now there's lots of different bottom lines.
You know what is so funny about this bit is that there are people out there who just actually want people to be seriously doing fantasy analysis like Dave is doing right now. Like, they really just want people to be like, just draft alphas. Just draft the best plays.
Dave would have 100,000 subs on YouTube if he just would actually put his nose to the grindstone with this analysis.
Yeah.
Of playing the best. Like, I just want alpha players. I want guys that I know that I can trust in and that I have high upside. You know, I don't want the guys that just could get me value at where I'm at. I want league winners. I want a whole team of league winners.
Don't we all, Dave?
Don't we all? All right, who's the pick here?
You know what?
Can't wait for you to take the most unleague winnery player available. I need to think. You're paralyzed with self-doubt right now, and it's incredible.
All right, you know what? I am going to go with it. I'm going to go with Nick Chubb.
Amazing.
This is so high team. Oh, my God.
Nick Chubb, like, we don't know what's going to happen with Kareem Hunt, right? I think the only thing we know is that he's right now looking unlikely to be in a Cleveland Browns uniform. So
Dave,
why is
do you want Nick me to Chubb? Impart, do you want to me to impart to you a galaxy brain theory? That yeah. You should draft Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb together because they actually are going to correlate on winning teams, because if Kareem Hunt gets traded, that uncorrelates their ceilings.
If I was correlating, I would draft Dearness Johnson and Kareem
Hunt. Well, Dearness Johnson is going to be on the team, so that doesn't make sense.
Right, but I'm, drafting for upside, Davis, so I would be drafting two of the backups with their upside being that one Dearness Johnson.
That your third-round pick is dead. You draft Dearness Johnson, hoping your third round pick dies.
Davis, you don't understand. I don't expect you to understand. Like, I do think you're getting a lot of experience this year, right? With all your drafts. I guess it's gonna help you out. But until you've been through the finalist fire, you don't know. You do not know the type of pressure and the fortitude that it takes to do this. So
I do like, so my common theme to being in the finals in back-to-back years was zero RB squads. I do like the idea of your through line just being
drafting
one specific
players.
Derrick Henry on all your finalist teams. That's the only through line.
Alpha, high touch guys with just unlimited upside.
That's the whole unlimited upside.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Browns and how they use Chubb in the passing game or lack thereof, there is a limitation on the upside.
There is a limit.
Cannot wait till you see what I'm gonna do with this.
Are you gonna go bully tight end?
Is it Traylon season already? Do I hear a drum beat?
I can't wait until fucking Jacoby Myers is your wide receiver one on this team.
He's going to draft Darren Waller ahead of ADP after not practicing since July 30th.
All right. I'm going to draft again.
Oh, I thought Cam Akers, you know, I thought Cam Akers would be a good
pick. No, I like guys, you know, my receivers, I like to be a part of high octane offenses.
Do you want to howl at the moon for getting Marquise Brown, 1.5 picks after ADP?
Value hound, Dave. You draft him by ADP.
Yeah, I mean, we're again going on upside, like showering, everything's there. Explosive offense with Marquise Brown leading the charge. Now we'll see if either a tight end or Kyler makes it to me. Are you guys monitoring the chat? Do we have any guys in the chat that can see what I'm doing? Because I feel like I'm giving away all
I know
the alpha.
Paul, I was inverted. Paul is definitely watching, and he just took Bateman. I don't. Big Marley might be watching. Jake Twitch is probably watching. Reveal yourself in the chat if you're watching
and
drafting.
So they're getting all the alpha. So I can't really explain what I'm about to do. It's got to be all post pick style.
There's a couple unwritten rules to kind of society, and that's if you ask a cop if he's a cop, they do have to say yes or no. And if you are drafting in a live stream draft, you do have to reveal yourself in the chat as well.
Yep.
See, there they are. Paul, Jake, they're here.
All right. And for those that do not know, again, I'm using the spike week overlay, which just helps tremendously as far as just color coding basic things. It seems kind of juvenile to say this helps, but if you, like, later on the draft, when you see all your guys that are green and you can just filter by those guys, it helps. And then it also tells you week 16 and week 17 matchups as well
some
as
of
exposure.
Some of our brains are so big, we can just retain all of that information.
I guess I'm just getting confused, Kitchen. Do you just draft alpha plays, or do you need overlays for more information when you're drafting? Yeah,
which is more important?
Alpha plays that correlate.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You know, I'm actually going to request a feature for you guys that just highlights ADP and like green and red. Like, oh, I got him ahead of ADP. Look
Dude,
at me.
Having a little flame emoji next to a ADP faller would be nice.
All right. Kyler sniped. That does hurt. That one hurts.
Well, who's the alpha play here, Dave?
Talk it through. Let the people know what's going on.
I kind of want to go with Dobbins. I think in the fifth round, he's going to be a good pick still.
Anytime you can take a guy 10 spots of where he's been going for the last 3 months in a draft that's going to have 400,000 entries, I think you just got to press the button.
Davis, again, you don't understand.
What you don't understand is that Dobbins and Andrews are going to perfectly correlate in week 17 when Dobbins throws Mark Andrews a wildcat pass.
Was that a misclick, Kitchen? Yeah, you set up the Dobbins.
I don't think I clicked draft on him. I meant to draft Dobbins. So we'll see where he goes now. We'll see how far he falls. But that's the again. Sometimes you got to get lucky with this stuff, and maybe Akers is my luck, it's all
luck based anyway.
I'm starting to think you're a value hound here. The only reason you took Akers is because
I don't like Akers. I would much rather have Henderson. I don't like Akers. I don't like that pick. If I get lucky, so be it. But I do not like that pick.
Flash forward to 25 minutes later when Kitchen talks himself into a handcuff situation with Henderson and Akers.
No, it won't happen.
Yeah.
Not this time. I've learned from my mistakes. I did go back and look at that Live a Little team that we drafted in the puppy.
Was it beautiful?
It has not been kind to the guys that I drafted, like all the news and stuff.
You would think that a team where every guy was drafted 10 spots ahead of their ADP, you would think the news should be good, right? The news, because if you're drafting guys ahead of ADP, you would be anticipating favorable outcomes for them in the future.
Davis, if we had a drinking game where every time you said ADP, they had to take a shot, people would not be able to watch the rest of this show.
That'd be a
fun drinking game. You like ADP, but not everything revolves around ADP.
Except your last two picks.
So would you then prefer a game where the players were just like in a random order or an alphabetical order when you were in these drafts? Would you think that would be a better game?
No, I would rather like a game where ADP doesn't matter and I'm just drafting on upside, just ceiling projections.
So like, daily fantasy sports.
I do not understand, Davis. Like, maybe you're a changed man, you know, maybe you getting engaged and becoming married, like maybe that's a part of this whole vanilla men cashmatic, you know, personality that you have. I guess we'll see when the season rolls around.
You're much more likely to win $2 million. If
you're asking me, why would you take a sub 10% player in your tournaments? Why do you want to be unique?
There's a lot of conversation going in the chat, how you're thinking about the running back structure of this draft and how many running backs you're going to ultimately be looking to take. Can you speak on that?
Yeah, I don't feel like I can give away the alpha right now because that just gives my league mates, that just gives them a leg up. And
we all want to know if this is a 4 running back build or a 5 running back build, or if you're truly going to live a little and do more than that.
Oh, he's no, drafted, it'll be max. Drafted. It'll be max 5.
No,
it'll
I guarantee he drafts 6.
No.
Kitchen's structure is 2-6-6-2 is his base structure.
Bam. Mooney at this price, the value damn, baby. Now can't resist it. He loves ADP.
I wish there was a game. I wish there was a game where it was just based on ceiling and not on ADP.
You know, you could have drafted Treylon Burks, so I think we all could argue has a higher ceiling than Mooney, is more of an alpha play than Mooney, plays for the Tennessee Titans, and yet you're such a fucking slave to ADP you had to take Darnell Mooney.
I'm not a slave to ADP. If anything, I'm a slave to like recent news and trends, right? Did you see that long bomb from Fields?
The Bears news has been all bad.
except for that, except for that one thing that they're gonna have to throw the ball basically because no one else wants to play for them. You know what news has been like really bad though? Boots on the ground take from you, Pete. The Pats, like, it's just been, it's like Reeves all over again. It's like Reeves is like the beat writer.
Debbie Downer Reeves is the Pats beat reporter. Like, these guys all look like shit.
I subscribed to Sharp Football for Reeves's rankings, and there were 6 players on it.
Who not to draft?
You know what did finally happen though?
What?
The flippening. Ramondre's ADP is now ahead of Damian Harris.
Yeah, two big flippenings this week. Justin Jefferson over Cooper Kupp as well.
That one is very strange to me. I think Bime Four spending all day on Twitter arguing about it. Like, I would not do that. But I do actually totally agree with him. Like, I don't. There's nothing that's happened that's changed my mind that I should take Jefferson over Kupp.
You'd rather spend your morning arguing with Frisco Josh about Bitcoin for the millionth time?
Yeah.
I thought we had a nice
more productivity hacks that you got up your sleeve, bud.
I'm just really excited. I'm really excited to see what you do here because I think we all know what's coming down the pipe.
I don't think you do know what's coming down the pike, Davis.
You're a real fraud if you don't take your guy here.
So put us back on the screen. We got to see Kitchen in a state of panic trying to make this selection.
He's got such a, I know this spot of
You like that Henry Tony Pollard correlation in week 17?
Week 17. You guys like Davis's draft the other day. I wish I could pull it up. I wish
it was really bad. This one I didn't
correlate at all. He correlated. Who did he call? His only correlation was Zach Wilson and Berrios. Like, that was his only correlation there.
Every quarterback I needed got snapped. It was really bad.
Maybe you should have drafted him around early and live a little, pal. Like, that's how you get your correlations. You're so tied to ADP where you cannot even stack your teams. And it's sad. It's sad that you can't correlate or stack because one thing is tying you down, and that's ADP. I think you just need to let go of that anchor, bud.
The irony of you making an awful pick, passing on Treylon Burks, who was the right pick there for you, Kitchen, and you love Treylon Burks. I mean, what's wrong with you? The ultimate alpha, the hometown alpha.
Have you seen what him practicing with the twos and the threes?
It's all noise.
It's all fake news.
Bet on alpha. Someone once told me that you just bet on alpha.
Maybe there's another Titans. Maybe there's another Titans wide receiver.
Kyle Phillips and alpha. I know where you're going with this.
Pete, when you put that out there, when you put out the tweet was, I can't believe David's not been on Kyle Phillips. Is he even a thought leader for the Titans anymore? And then I showed you the tweet. I know it gave you an opportunity to slam dunk on me, but the first thought that you had was probably, wow, like he was in front of this.
Do you know what's so funny about that, Dave, is there was a split second before I sent that tweet where in my head I was like, maybe Kitchen has already
read
about
already
it. But I was like, God knows I'm not going to his profile to look.
A lot of 3 favorite tweets to sift through to find the Kyle Phillips tweets.
So there's Burks. Here's the thing, right? Here's the thing with Burks. I got a ton of them. Bags, the bags are backed.
You got to keep that exposure under 80%.
So, man, I was listening.
Is there still time in the Best Ball Bros video to show this masterpiece that Kitchen is building? This four running back, 2 wide receivers.
Tomorrow, the Best Ball Bros video comes out, and let's just say both of these men might be represented in it.
All right, so... Oh, there goes Edwards. Hey,
there's good value on Damian Harris here, Dave.
Yeah, there is.
So you looking at setting up the Fields Mooney with the no week 17 bring back is the vibe here?
Here's the thing, right? Damian Harris, have you seen the recent like targets and catches for him in scrimmage?
They're all going to the Alpha Janu.
Jonnu and Damian Harris. I'm just saying. All right.
Sounds like you've been grinding a lot of news, Dave.
Of course I.
Well, he's got. You. He has to figure out who he wants to keep in his 10-team home league. So he's
going to draft the former generations Kyle Phillips here.
Oh man. Let's see. All right.
I think Goddard is a good pick. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Jesus.
David, do you want a crossbook in BBM3?
Yeah. If yours is like the one that you had, then for sure.
Yeah.
Kitchen, can I ask a question? When do you plan to draft good wide receivers? I'm just curious.
Well, what you fail to understand, Pete, is that wide receivers are all the same. They all get target. I mean, they're all made up words. Target
again. They're all the guys, same. It's all about upside, and sometimes.
What's the upside case with Dallas Goedert, Kitchen? I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, is he an alpha?
Sure, he's a guy that this offense could take off. He's no longer competing for tight end targets anymore. He's going to be so if you think that Hurts and this offense takes the next step like the Bills and Josh Allen did last year, then would you want a piece of that in Dallas Goedert? Yeah, I'm trying to get a little piece of that. Plus, if you saw in week 16, the Eagles play the Cowboys. So I'm structuring it. I know it's a little bit like chess to you guys as checkers, but I'm structuring it to where there are multiple ways that I can make this final. It's not just putting all your eggs in the week 17 basket. You got to get to week 17.
You do. And I'm not thinking you're going to get there with this team, bud.
You're wrong.
Let me see. I mean, all the values up top with the running backs. I mean, Singletary would really round out this room.
Yeah. Oh, Dave's just skiing into the avalanche here.
Albert O, the advance rates on three tight end builds have been pretty good.
Yeah. All
right.
Okay.
Oh, Dave.
Finally made a good pick. Congrats, Dave.
And now
you said, Dave, you guys disagree on Claypool. Pete, you like him. Davis, you don't like him?
I like him a lot as a fifth wide receiver on most of my teams.
Okay, but you agree that he has upside, though. That's why you're drafting him as a fifth wide receiver.
I have no qualms with that pick. I think it was a good pick.
Okay,
little and correlation.
Who does he play week 17?
Wow, the Ravens. He plays Mark Andrews. He's done it again.
You know who he also plays? J.K. Dobbins, but you fat fingered that one.
I know. What if that's
I think
the guy?
I think
what
that if J.K. Dobbins Deshaun and Mark Vaughan. Andrews have to be the most negatively correlated teammates in the league.
Yeah, probably.
I engagement farmed this the other day, Pete, I want you to plant a seed from this engagement farming. What do you think are the two most commonly drafted players together? There were a lot of good answers. I think it's got to be Justin Jefferson and Kirk Cousins. Like what percentage of the time does the Justin Jefferson drafter draft Kirk Cousins? Like, got to be the highest.
Yeah, but just pure math base, it has to be something closer
later.
I mean, I think like. Do you know, I feel anecdotally like 50 to 60% of the time the Diggs owner takes Josh Allen because their ADPs are directly correlated.
That's harder. So that's true, but it's harder to get Josh Allen because the cost to acquire is greater. Whereas like Kirk Cousins, you can take any time in between round 10 and to 12 pretty much.
I will say that could be true. Whenever I have Jefferson, I'm never going out of my way to get Cousins. Like I don't.
Oh, I am going out of my way to get Kirk Cousins because I can't think of two players whose outputs are more correlated.
Do you know if they have a good offense, I'm going to be completely screwed on?
All the goods. The Colts?
I don't have, like, maybe a couple of Hines shares, and that's it.
Well, some of us have spent all summer going all in on Christian McCaffrey for Max Payne. Like that, I mean, pretty clear how I lose at best ball this season, which is Jonathan Taylor repeats last year and Christian McCaffrey limps off in week 3 again. Like, that'll be pretty bad for me.
Yeah. No, I'm joining you on the C-Mac train. Like, we're both, like, we've already talked about.
He's got upside.
Yeah. And so, Dave, does Derrick Henry, though.
Do you know that on TikTok, everyone is pro Derrick Henry over CMC?
Really?
That's the take.
I found out in pickleball, there's something called the kitchen, which like is a key area in the pickleball court. So I feel like I missed the brand train on that
one. Are you getting into
how can Value Hound Dave pass up on Devin Singletary here?
Davis, it's about how you structure your team. So I'm looking for high upside guys.
As his mouse hovers over Russell Gage.
Yeah, I don't know why Gage is there. All right, so I go with Golladay. You know, people forget Golladay, he was good. And he was a dominant force. And what if last year was just a year that we can just forget and move on? And what if this Giants offense actually has some legs this year? Makes you think.
You gonna set up the Wandale backdoor double?
It's not. It's Wandale. There's no way that Connor's pronunciation is correct. It's a funnier pronunciation though.
I'm not saying that as if that's his actual name. It's just it's Rondale and Wandale. I like it. All right.
It's a good bit.
What's your plan at quarterback, Kitchen? What's your plan at wide receiver? What's your plan at quarterback?
So I'm gonna go. I feel like I've got running back and tight end covered right now.
That's why I didn't ask about those. Yeah.
Yeah. So with quarterback and wide receiver, it's the rule of large numbers. So in math, there is the rule of large numbers. It says like the more you have, the more of a chance you have. There's also something that we like to call in the industry spike week, right? And that's when you have these players. So you know, people don't like to hear about this name, but Racy McMath has some legs as a spike week player. What? In the 18th round.
Dave, I need to make a criticism of this. The first time we did this bit, it was really funny, but you have not advanced on the bit. The bit has not evolved. Like,
what is the bit? What is the bit to you, Davis?
That you're just drafting players at complete random, essentially?
No. Racy McMath, did you see, Davis? You're missing, you're drafting all these drafts and getting ready for the wedding. So you're missing some of this training camp news. Tannehill said that McMath is a guy that he has not had in years past as a guy that completely blows the top off the defense.
I want you to think
of what a play action could be with King Henry and Racy McMath.
Tell me how we went from you justifying a three quarterback, three tight end build because the law of large numbers to Racy McMath spike notes within the same sentence.
He's saying that Racy McMath is a good fifth wide receiver.
Yeah, I'm saying there are four running backs, maybe a fifth. Oh, gosh.
Dave, I'm on the clock. You got to take Daniel Jones for that week 17.
Look at all this tight end value here.
I know, right? I really want to take Gainwell for being honest. Like, I really do.
Yeah, Nick Sirianni wore the Gainwell shirt.
Gainwell over Fields in this spot is so fucking egregious.
Oh, Dave, this is like, this is so bad. Are you doing this? Like, you tell me you know this team is bad.
What does Gainwell do for this team?
We've already talked about Scott.
If Gainwell is making your lineup, like, you are so dead.
Why? Why is that?
Because that means that Derrick Henry and Nick Chubb are making your lineup.
Matt says this might get thrown out.
Oh, you ever?
I want to know: Are you actually paying attention to the news
that Nick Sirianni wore a Kenneth Gainwell T-shirt?
You know, that Gainwell is like it could be the guy in Philly this year.
Even if he is the guy, he's still not good for this team. He could score 200 points and make your lineup like twice.
He's heading into the 12th round without a QB and took Gainwell.
You guys don't get it, and it's okay. I understand because, like, you are looking at it with one fixed lens, right? And your lens is this draft not like other drafts? And here's what I would say. Here's what I would say. A, live a little. B, B, I think you guys need to practice a little bit more tolerance.
Practice some tolerance.
Yeah, because like if any draft is not like your specific draft or how you want to format it, then you criticize it and you make fun.
Pete and I don't even draft the same. Pete and I draft very differently. Pete does not take some of these dusty second and third round running backs that I do. Like, I've got a good position on Joe Mixon and James Conner, and I guarantee Pete has like none of those guys.
Very, very little. I will say, Kidja, though, this is like a one step forward for Spike Week promotion and then two steps back if this is how you showcase how to use this tool.
Well, no, you can see how I'm using the tool. That's the great thing about Spike Week is it's construction agnostic, right? Like, you can...
Yeah, let's ask Eric.
Construction agnostic.
Yeah, like, it doesn't matter how you are formatting your team. Because it does. Because however you're formatting your team, you can use this tool. Like, if you want a two wide receiver to start with two wide receivers in the first 10 rounds, you can do it, and it's still going to show you who you have. The Spike Week tool, it does not have like a preference with this.
What if Bime4 built it in that if you have two wide receivers entering into the 10th round, it just cuts out, like the tool just auto, like, if the script stops running and it stops displaying the information for you.
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh. I mean,
value hound. Value has just all fallen into his lap.
Jeez Louise, Fields in the 12th round. The upside of Fields could be like a top three quarterback this year if they let him cook.
Dude, this is the most Kitchen thing ever. Gainwell, like 9 picks past ADP, and Fields 12 picks past ADP.
You guys, like, you just get past the ADP lens and focus on upside. Gainwell, tremendous upside. Fields, tremendous upside. There's also some correlation there. I didn't make the finals just drafting on ADP. I want alphas.
Kenny Gainwell is the antithesis of an alpha.
The Eagles backfield, famously full of alphas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's your
I can go down this list and tell you like who Davis would be drafting.
Who would I be drafting? Please, let's go down the list.
He's scrolling.
Marvin Jones. give me Brian Edwards.
No. Nope.
Paris Campbell, all these.
Definitely
like
not. Paris Campbell, like the idea of Paris Campbell being a player who's not an 18th round pick is one of the most laughable things that the market
okay,
has done.
But who season. Are you? Who? This is a legit question. Who are you guys taking late round for the Colts?
Doolin. He's been smashing camp, and Frank Reich said on.
Oh, so you are grinding Friday, some of the news.
He said, I can guarantee Doolin will have a role on the offense. I was taking Romeo Doubs in the 18th round, but now it's all that's not happening anymore.
Dang, I don't trust Fitzcaine or Holman.
So who? What? What did you just say?
I don't trust Fitzcaine or.
Who is that?
Who is Fitzcaine? Oh, these
guys. I'm
I
so,
thought you were
guys.
Referencing NFL players.
I thought
you
that was like
so
a cult
blinded by one specific here. Strategy. I'm actually taking a look at who they have on their roster as far as who could get back to me.
It's Dave, you set up your Danny Jones pick here. It's perfect.
Yeah, I know, but I don't trust them because like who are they gonna pick? Mac Jones?
What do you mean you don't trust them? This was the pick that needed to happen.
Like, I know that's. I'm taking it now. Like I would usually wait a little bit, but taking it now.
Why would you wait when all that matters is upside? Why does waiting matter?
You know, it's a good point, Davis.
J.D. McKissick would have been nice, and then you could have seen if Daniel Jones fell. To
okay,
you.
here's what would have been nice. This is a little bit of revisionist drafting. People are seeing how the sausage is made and how a finalist brain works.
Taking any player on the board other than Kenny Gainwell.
I wish good. I would have waited a little bit because I am high on Khalil Herbert and he would have fit well with this team.
He correlates with Justin Fields. Why can't you take him?
Fields and Mooney. Cause I already have 5 running backs. I'm thinking that's not a viable strategy.
Why
is
it? The roster construction doesn't matter. It's all about upside.
No, the roster construction does matter, Davis. Gosh.
Why would it matter?
Bless your heart. So you still want to have like a decent roster construction, but it's all about what that position with the construction gives you, right? So like if you go heavy on running backs to start, then you don't want to continue going heavy on running backs. You want to maximize your chances with wide receivers.
So
with that being said, wide receivers heading into the Kenny Gainwell pick.
That's what I'm saying. That's what, Pete, listen.
Dave considers
you're hearing me.
Dave considers the 12th round early.
You're hearing me? I just said it was – if I could go back and redo that, I would not draft Gainwell. I would draft a wide receiver in that position.
Okay. All right. I'm just – I missed you waving the white flag on the Gainwell pick.
Yeah.
So we have – Pete, I have this – I had this very embarrassing, like fantasy football epiphany. But, like, the – it really is as simple as to why wide receivers are better on underdog, even though it's 0.5 PPR. And it's truly as simple as
event-based.
Three is more than two. It's the same. It's the same thing. It's NBA logic. It's like three is just a bigger number than two. And it's really that simple.
And it's more likely that a wide receiver is going to be late, is going to be able to access a big ceiling there on a single game basis.
I will say that drafting on underdog I've been drafting most of mine, probably 80% of my drafts up till now have been on DK. And part of it is because those two extra picks, it just, you know, you wouldn't think that going from 18 to 20 does anything, but it does. It feels like you can get whoever you want.
Those are Reggie McMath picks. You can just get them every time.
Right. And like when you're constricted to only 18, and like I feel like I don't have a life jacket on when I only draft two quarterbacks on underdog, right? Like, or I only draft two tight ends in our lineup because it's like I don't have any support system if something happens to those guys. Whereas DK, it's easy to do three QBs and three tight ends and just maximize your other guys. What's your feeling on Bimefor's recent tight end strategy for late round tight ends, Davis?
Just taking guys who don't get drafted in a big portion of drafts.
Have you read it?
No.
Well, if it was awesome, you would have read it, right?
Probably not, to be honest. I try not to read very much. I try not to engage with other people's content that much when I'm still drafting a lot because I don't want to be drafting other people's.
You were copy-pasting Awesomeo strategies 2 weeks ago, Davis, and now all
Kitchen,
of a
just tell us what the article said.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't read it. I just, it seemed like it was...
That was a good bit.
So I didn't, but it seemed like because he was touting Bellinger, and
I totally agree. I totally agree with his logic. Like I've been taking a lot of Jonnu recently as my third.
I have too. Jonnu makes complete sense for him to be like going undrafted. Oh boy, I'm on the clock here.
You know what?
Crowder.
You know what?
Crowder would be the like
total alpha play.
No, that's the Davis. That's the Davis Mincash play.
I got no Crowder. I'm a McKenzie guy.
Boy,
Will Fuller's an alpha.
Doing it.
Crane told me that Will Fuller like 60 spots ahead of ADP is beautiful.
Did you see
that Fuller is his number one drafted wide receiver on underdog?
Here's the thing.
Too aggressive for me.
Did you see one of the teams linked to Fuller?
The Cowboys.
And one that didn't really make sense, unless, like if he wants to win, but the Bears was also a team.
Well, his agent, what's happening right now is Will Fuller doesn't really want to play football. His agent is contacting these teams to try and get them to give a dollar amount that would make Will Fuller want to play football, I think. That's my conspiracy theory on Will Fuller.
But I wonder how many of these underdog teams have Fields and Fuller. I mean, these are the type of combos you have to kind of dig into. You have to play like kind of the what if scenario.
Yeah.
What if scenario being I draft whoever the hell I want and then what if I
and then build and then what if I and then what if I win? What if I win?
A live a little scenario where you just have to kind of use your imagination every line. I just don't understand, especially Mincashmatic, how you can be on when we're talking about DFS, how every lineup has to tell a story. You want to be unique, you want to go against the field, and you're so tied to ADP.
Well, it's a very different game. Best ball and DFS don't have a ton of
how is it a different game when you have 500,000 entries into it?
Because being price sensitive is much more important in a market-based game where the market evolves over time. There's no market evolution in DFS. The prices are set and constant.
No, the prices change every week.
Okay.
Well, I mean, they change every week. I don't know what you're playing.
For one slate, for one scoring period, the prices change every week.
This is too easy.
I can't believe you got $1 to fall to you there.
I know.
Too easy.
It's like shooting fish in a barrel, am I right, Dave?
It really is. It really is. You know, this is kind of like the movie that people see or the show, and they're like, they don't get it at first, but then towards the end, it all starts. It's like The Wire season 5. Everything kind of starts blending in where these individual masterpieces make one collective masterpiece, and that is this lineup right here.
So what do you think in structurally your end game here is Kitchen with 3 more picks left? What do you think this team needs?
I told you. We're going wide receiver. You see this 3 tab? Straight? Probably. Right.
Okay.
Well, let's see what quarterback.
That seems prudent.
I just really can't get over Dave saying that the prices in DFS change every week, so it's the same thing. That was really good.
Dave, no, just, I'm saying just, that the strategy slate, of being unique to win a large field contest for DFS has a
It's a very different branch of game theory.
I both have won the Millie Maker, right?
Correct. Yeah, correct. Thank you.
And we won that where it was like a 200 place tie, right?
No, buddy, it was like 480 places.
Couple G's.
I would have won too, I didn't realize the salaries changed every week. I was using the salaries from before.
That
is Davis's ultimate goal is to tie with 200 other teams that have his optimal lineup in here.
Is to just lead me to what is going to give me the most amount of money.
Kitchen, your logic with best ball and ADP applied to DFS would be you routinely not using $10,000 of the salary cap.
It would be leaving salary cap. Yeah.
Exactly. And people do that. People do that for showdown based contests.
They do. Yeah.
They do. That's a good point. I think that you do actually make a good point that best ball probably has more in common with showdown contests than main slate.
No. Well, I would say the battle royales, the daily underdog ones are more analogous to showdown because they're less rounds, 6 rounds, much of the player pool is duplicated. Off of that makes way more sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Hey, Pacheco just went at the end of the 15th round.
Yeah, people are going to be mad when he's on the practice squad week one.
But there's just so much smoke around him. Like how...
Ian Horitz just said maybe... my favorite tweet of all time. If you've not seen it,
was
go
it
look
the
it
one
up.
Where
it
Max it gives all his traits?
No, that was really good too. But he showed 3 videos from Chiefs training camp. One was Isaiah Pacheco with a good pass block. One was Clyde Edwards-Helaire with a good pass block, and one was Rojo with a good pass block. The Rojo one had 1,000 views. The Clyde Edwards-Helaire one had 10,000 views, and the Pacheco one had 117,000 views. Like people are just it's peak. People are seeing what they want to see season.
I do think going back, you know, we did that hypothetical a lot. Like if you could know one situation or whatever, sure. I mean, the Chiefs in general, both the running back and wide receiver.
And wide receiver.
I mean,
that's why I think the answer is like Juju, right? Because if Juju's smashing, I mean, one, you can probably just have confidence that the offense is pretty good, but you can like literally take him every draft.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. I just drafted Bell, but I saw his status for kickoff. Is that for this week or is that like week one?
I wasn't even aware people were still drafting David Bell.
You missed the highlight last from yesterday, gosh.
You want Jacoby Brissett's 3rd wide receiver?
Davis, again, there's all these what-if scenarios. Like, what if it's not Jacoby Brissett?
Like, what if they trade for Jimmy Garoppolo, or what if
I have been drafting naked Jimmy G on some teams just in case in the 18th round, just in case.
What would the upside be with Jimmy? Like, is he going to be a top 10 fantasy points per game quarterback anyway?
He just gives you like a little bit of cushion, a little bit of insurance.
Kitchen, it did seem like you were heavily on the wide receiver train, and I can't help but notice the introduction of the QB tab to this end game here. You're starting to get a little spooked on a Daniel Jones.
I just was seeing what was out there. I was seeing, you know, sometimes it's not just about the draft that you're in. It's about the drafts that you're going. So, like, I'm doing research right now for my future drafts. Yeah. I want to see kind of where the market is.
So then why would you have running back and tight end for future research too? So many logic pretzels I'm having to undo today.
Oh, yeah. We're trying to talk about logic pretzel. You guys drafting CMC and then just completely laughing at Derrick Henry in the middle of the first round whenever he just dominated last year. That's a logic pretzel. And Ian Harditz is on my side.
You got me. You got me. You and Ian hoisted us by our own petard.
Do you see the picture of him signing autographs? It's incredible.
Yeah, incredible.
Case Keenum?
Totally.
Yeah.
Not Case Keenum. No.
I feel like we're in McMath.
Do I need to go Pringle here? Lifeline. Do I need to go Pringle here?
Any hurt?
No, I would take
Samuel. Samuel. Would you go Samuel or Pringle?
Why don't you get a round out? You get a double stack here, Kitchen. You love correlating.
Yeah, but Velus was probably available.
That's what I said. I literally said Pringle's hurt. How about Velus?
I didn't hear that. I was just... You have to tell me that earlier. There has to be a sense of urgency when I'm up against the clock.
All right, Racy McMath to close this out.
Or Nick Westbrook-Ikhine.
He has to Kyle Phillips. See if he's already been taken.
Dave, can we get an exposure check after this draft?
You see right now I don't have any Kyle Phillips on Underdog, so maybe I need to change that.
After this draft, we're going to your exposure stat.
Can we just do another one? I enjoy having
hard out.
Hard out.
I like Davis. I think there's a word for you not enjoying the act, but you enjoy watching someone else do the act.
Oh yeah, this is like watching you know, disaster videos, like watching like buildings get blown up and stuff. Like it's sort of tickling that same spot in my brain.
I kind of
like watching someone slip and fall at the grocery store on like a wet spot.
I do.
Justin Ross upside?
No. No, Davis, don't.
Travis Fulgham? No.
Drafting like a Justin Ross or a Mechie in the 18th would be the would be what you guys would want, but I'm trying to win, you know.
And that's why he took Kenneth Gainwell, the ceiling guy, round 12.
That Travis Fulgham.
Oh, Fitzkane took Kyle Phillips. He took Kyle Phillips.
This is why you said you can't trust Fitzkane.
Yeah, I told you can't trust him. Unbelievable. He knows that Phillips has been running with the ones. Oh, gosh.
He's been playing over Burks.
It would not surprise me if he starts the season playing over Burks.
That would surprise me.
I would be surprised by that.
I would go as far as saying
they're
going to
be playing different positions. Silva called Burks a manufacture touch guy today, and it just hurt.
Doesn't make a ton of sense given his frame. I mean, I can see that being the way they get him the ball, but like generally speaking, you think of manufactured touch guys being like Wandale Robinson size.
Well, and can't we not use that both ways? Like we all get excited when it's like the guy's going to be the big slot because we're going to put him in the slot and manufacture touch. Don't we want them manufacturing touches for our players?
Kitchen, you've been hearing the drumbeat on Michael Thomas. You buying?
Oh, I've already got a bunch of Michael Thomas. Of Michael Thomas and
have
Kamara.
We gotten the official soccer name position on Taysom Hill on Underdog?
I like it, but I've already drafted two. I need another.
I don't mean for this draft. I just mean like in general. Like if
you
had,
give me a. Do you like Prosh, Wallace?
I do. I do like Prosh. I like. Well, Prosh. If Duvernay's there, take him. But he's gone.
Prosh over Duvernay at this point. I think.
No way. Because I talked about this with Karain. Because the only
Steady
way Prosh,
drumbeat.
The only way Prosh plays is if he wins the slot job outright. But Duvernay can do boundary or slot. He's played both.
Well, Kitchen actually already drafted the Ravens' future outside wide receiver in Will Fuller, who he's actually going to play for both the Bears and the Ravens. And
he's going to get traded.
Yeah.
So let's just recap this team.
Please do.
I've got two quarterbacks. This is just, again, in the finalist mind, what's previous finalist mind, what I'm thinking. Fields and Jones both have the ability to rush and throw. Last year, off years. This year, they have room to grow, right? Like we know they could be explosive. It's a boom or bust type of thing. And that's what I'm going for. I'm not going for min cashing right here. Like, I'm not going for the Kirk Cousins.
I agree that this team will not min cash.
Yes. Thank you. So, Fields and Jones, and then the alpha running backs, Henry, Chubb, Akers, and then two backups that if they get that feature role could just completely dominate. So no qualms with running back. They're
except
the
qualm of the pick you said you wish you could undo, that qualm.
Yeah, beside that, the foundation for this team. Andrews and Goddard, again, two just solid guys that are just going to give me points. Andrews could easily be tight end one this year. And then the wide receivers, there's a lot of them. So just
there's
like,
a lot of them. Dude, and they're all
great. We got to hope and pray.
A best ball thought leader monologue to see Dave's done 15 drafts.
He's done 15 drafts today.
This is just on Underdog again. I've done a lot more.
Can we get on Spike Week and check your DK exposures?
Yeah, let's do that.
We love to see it. I mean, there's nothing I love more than getting direct access to a thought leader.
60% Kyle Phillips.
I don't even know what it is.
So are you jamming Cowboys players too then?
I mean, you'll just have to see. All tournaments. It's
I mean, we do teams. We do love the week 17 correlation in this show.
Yeah. Okay, all tournaments.
It's gonna be weird.
27 drafts.
It's really gonna be weird to 27 drafts. It's really going to be weird to transition to DFS app for you after being such a thought leader.
Okay, Davis, you laughing at 27 drafts when you know I've already have 15 in Underdog. It's 42. It's 42 drafts, and you're laughing at that.
That's you know your, what I shouldn't. That's for you. That's working very hard.
Well, that's your privilege showing. Honestly, like my that privilege. Is, yeah, like not everyone is, can max enter.
Am I privileged to not have a child? Is that my privilege?
It's your future child's. Yeah. All right. So,
how am I going to afford one of those little things without Best Ball Mania 3?
All right. So, you see.
Oh, I love the Tennessee.
Robert Woods.
59% of his team have multiple 16 Titan stacks.
So, you see the roster builds right now.
It literally is every former Titans player.
Here's the thing with Woods. I feel like Woods is getting slept on. People just think he's a min cashmatic type vanilla.
They think he's
play.
Like a 30-year-old guy coming off of a tear in ACL.
Wait, right. Can we go over to the roster build? Kitchen has 12% 4-6-7-3 builds.
He's been taking some Jimmy G.
Can I tell you about those builds? Are the auto draft? So there's not a max thing. So there's been two nights where I have fallen asleep drafting, and then I wake up to four quarterbacks. But you never know, really. You never know.
Pete, it's amazing.
I've seen you like being real anti four QBs, but I heard that four QBs and four tight ends. They could be the key to unlock it this year. Like,
well, I was out on it until I heard something about the law of large numbers, and now I'm really coming around.
And now I'm in. The law of large numbers means you have a good team.
All right. So there you go. Shout out to Spike Week again. It doesn't matter how Spike Week is not. It's not like favoring one strategy over the next. It's just telling you what you have.
It's telling you what you got. Live a little.
So this, you see,
Dave, I gotta give you credit. Just a god level performance from you today. You really brought it. You did not disappoint the people.
Spike Week isn't giving you giving you health tips. They're just giving you a DEXA scan and telling you all the shit.
Exactly. It's exactly what
they're,
it is.
They're the full body scan, and you got to pay you got to pay a doctor more to fix what it tells you.
It's telling you all the meme coins you have in your account. Like, not saying that every one of them is like real valuable, but it's at least showing you, okay, that's why today I was able to pass on Treylon Burks, right? Because my bags are already packed with them. If I was you, Pete, I would just like be hyping him up big time now, so that his ADP continues to rise.
Yeah. Except when you hype a player up, that means you don't get to draft them as much anymore. Like
round
six,
but that's what Pete does. That's what Pete did with Breece Hall. He said he was done drafting Breece Hall, and so that's why he was happy with his exposure to Breece Hall. Yeah, I'm on to you, pal.
Dave, if one of Pete or I wins Best Ball Mania 3, how are you going to react to that?
I already said, Davis, I'm with the 12% of the people that want you to win. Of the
voters. I'm the majority. Dave winning is by far the funniest thing by a mile.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. If I win, Davis, I promise you this. If I win the $1 million, I will.
You'll send me a mooncat.
Not just a mooncat. I will send you a 2017, one that was minted in 2017. So that was like a one.
Is that on ETH proof of work or ETH proof of stake?
Yeah, both. 2,500. It's like top 2,500.
Someone hasn't been grinding the Ethereum mainnet news.
Guilty.
let me tell you, it's all terrible. The ETH stuff, it's all mess.
It's going up to like 1,800, right? Just gotta live a little. All right. Pete, final thoughts.
Always a pleasure, Dave, watching a maestro in his prime do what he was put on this earth to do. And a real treat today.
Yeah.
That was like watching a virtuoso pianist just kind of practice their craft.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I would say that there have been multiple times in history where people don't really get it at the time of like the
match. There are definitely people who don't get the show, like, out there.
After they die is when they get famous. After they win is when people see the brilliance of the performance. So I would say that's probably in line with this, but appreciate everybody tuning in and joining in the fun. Leave us a comment on, you know, what you would have done differently, if anything. And give us a like, just follow, and we'll see you next week. Davis won't be here, so we'll have to come up with a fill-in.
Maybe Tuttle
is grinding all the preseason projections, like
really
for NFL. Okay. So he knows about NFL. We just got to get him.
Except the problem is he only knows about Racy McMath. He doesn't know about Treylon Burks because Treylon Burks doesn't get a projection.
He knows about them all, fella. He's got it covered. But that will do it. Thanks for joining us here on the Swolecast. We'll see you next week on the Swolecast from RotoGrinders.com. Peace.